Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Okay, so we're responding to the prompt of one of our reviewers wanting to know our top three weirdest movies and songs, and we were going to respond. We're talking about, we both feel that we have honorary mentions and we have other qualifiers for our responses, which is probably what happens when you get a couple of music nerds or film nerds, you know, or whatever. But we're definitely more than music side nerds on this particular response.
It's harder for music for me. I had the hardest time with the music portion because, you know, it can be so many things. I mean, you can go off the deep end and, you know, talk about super avant-garde shit that nobody's ever going to want to listen to. Or you can go toward the accessibility route, which is kind of the route that I went.
And that's, me too. You know, I was saying how, like, you know, I picked three that are ones that, you know, you can go to YouTube and you can find these. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've even heard them before. You probably have. And, you know, you can be like, yeah, those are catchy. They're fun. They're weird. But, you know, they're not like the, because, like, I mean, you know, I'll go and I'll listen to some stuff that, like, people were like, you know, it was just a cacophonous noise to them, where I can be like, oh, yeah, I get into that.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a group of guys, I'm not kidding. I used to engineer at a studio in Orlando, Florida from 94 to about 96. And I had a group of guys that would pay me to come in, and they would bang on trash cans and like the walls and like set up this crazy cacophony of, like, you know, a kick drum mic'd up through an old Fender amp that's, you know, blowing air through it with a fan, like just crazy stupid shit.
I'm so into that.
You know what I'm saying, man? It's like it almost gets to the point where it becomes like Foley for a film or something.
And that's the thing, man. It's like I'm so into that. You know what I mean? Because it's like that is like abstract expressionist painting.
Yeah.
Or exactly. You know, or free jazz. You know, it's where,
that's right.
You know, we're pushing beyond recognition, beyond what you would say this is a thing,
right?
You know, you're getting beyond beat, beyond melody, beyond anything like that, where it's a lot of like stream of consciousness, a lot of noise, but it's also a lot of experimentation and stuff like that. And I can get into that. I can really, really love that.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, sometimes it's just a lot of fucking noise.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be in the right headspace.
Exactly.
So with taking that into account, we've honed our list down to things that are a little bit more listener friendly and accessible to people, at least on my end.
Yeah, so. I definitely have to.
Okay, cool. I'll also say this, that some of these things are on the list, that you need to take into account the time period. And so, so with that being said, let's do movies first. Is that okay? Let's do movies first. You want to go?
I'll start.
You start.
I'll start
What was your number three? Where's your number three?
Well, I don't really give them a specific number.
Okay.
I just said these are three that I will put on my list.
Okay, in no particular order.
Right. Because I mean, now I like weird movies, but I also like them to have some kind of artistic element to them. Yeah. So it can't just be weird for weirdness sake, but if you know, there's some directors like, you know, like David Lynch, who makes these beautiful artistic films that are weird, you know, but I will go and say, and I know I am like this is a huge sin for anybody that went to art school in the past 20 to 30 years. I did not care for Eraserhead. Mm-hmm. And you know, now that's a big thing that people love. That was a big underground film.
Right, right.
Hugely influential on a lot of people.
Right.
But I just could not get into it.
Yeah.
But I do love like his movies in general. There's a Japanese director, Takashi Miike, mm-hmm. who makes these really, really weird, bizarre movies that uh-huh. are a lot of fun, mm-hmm. but they're, again, kind of at that not accessible
yep.
level of right. kind of stuff. So there's, you know, these are people who kind of play loose with narrative.
Sure.
I'll go with I put three that are more typical kind of movies that are, yep.
Okay.
Story. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. So I'm going to start off with a French movie called Fantastic Planet.
Okay.
It was an animated movie, science fiction animated movie from the 70s. Mm-hmm. So it's got the European style of animation, where it's all like old school hand drawn. Everything was hand drawn. Mm-hmm. It's got the weird European design. Mm-hmm. That's different from, you know, what is now, because it's in the 70s, so it's before a lot of the Japanese animation influence that came
right.
back after, you know, because yep. like with animation, if you're a fan of animation, you know that Disney had a huge effect on Japan when those movies went over there into their animation, and it came back into the West, and the huge influence of Japanese animation, anime, although back in the day it was called Japanimation. Do you mm-hmm. remember what it was
yeah.
used to be called?
Oh, yeah.
But now anime is yeah. what we call it now.
Right.
And so it had that huge retro effect. Well, sure. this Fantastic Planet is in between that. So it's on its own, exists on its own, very European, and it's very surreal, and it's very weird, and the it's got incredible, like, incredible soundtrack if you like weird kind of stuff like Goblin or other kind of instrumental stuff that's kind of like a fusion of like funk and synth and stuff like that. It's really strange, but
yeah.
incredible. But the story is, it takes place on this other planet where human beings, or what appear to, you know, people like us, are we're not native to that planet. Or if they are if these humans are native to that planet, they're different from us, but they are kept, they're like the size of like action figures, like uh-huh. a G.I. Joe or whatever, you know, so they're like 4 or 5 inches tall and they are kept by these giant blue aliens who have, their features are, they don't have nose. Well, they, you know, they have noses. They have ears, but they look like kind of gills or webbed okay. hand type things.
Yep.
And they have these red eyes, but mm-hmm. they don't have eyelids. And we follow one of these humans from their birth as they grow up and as they are kept as a pet by one of these aliens who was actually, you know, most of the aliens are very cruel to their humans. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, at one point, the human escapes and finds other wild humans
right.
and they try to do this revolt and they learn and they do. So it's kind of like in some, you know, and it's a weird psychedelic-y trip kind of thing, but there's a narrative to it. And I saw it when I was very young, probably on like USA Up All Night or something okay. like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way back in the day. And yeah. it blew my mind. And it's very surreal, but it's really, really cool. And it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. And you can find it. I'm sure you can find it to stream and download or something
cool.
like that.
Cool. That sounds cool. That sounds great.
So yeah, so that's my first one. Awesome. A little long-winded on that.
No. That's good, man. I'll take a stab at one of mine. I'm going for context of when it was released. I'm also going for accessibility. This is still right. an accessible movie. I'm going to go with, and because it's one of the strangest movies that I saw when I was coming of age and, you know, sort of experimenting with with things. Clockwork Orange by Stanley Kubrick.
Excellent choice.
It's just a weird. If you haven't seen it, you must see it. It's a psychedelic look into a man who is he commits various acts of violence, and he's captured by the state, and they basically try to brainwash him into becoming a normal citizen of society. Mm-hmm. and it's just about the human condition, but it's just weird. It's psychedelic. Yeah. The Stanley Kubrick's mind is just fascinating. I watched a documentary on Stanley Kubrick, his assistant. I don't know if you saw that, but it was I can't remember the name of it, but he really outlines the genius of Stanley Kubrick. And that movie is just, it stands out to me as being a strange movie.
Mm-hmm.
With some, the set and the look of the movie just is so particular, and it conjures up so many, you know, ideas about that time, you know, mm-hmm. that time frame, which would have been, what was that? Is that the late 60s?
I want to say it was 69.
Okay.
I want to say it was 69 when that came out.
Yeah, so great movie. I mean, I'm sure everybody's seen it. You know, it's on the consciousness of the of the people, but it is a weird movie, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. Also another interesting note about that, with great soundtrack with the early synth type stuff. The artist that did that stuff is named Wendy Carlos Williams,
mm-hmm.
Who started off life as William Carlos Williams and was an early transgender person.
Okay.
And like was very much on the forefront of that and very open about having that done and being in the industry and being, you know, this well-known person. And
you're right. The soundtrack sets the tone, you know, it really does. And the sparseness of it too, the sparseness of the dialogue and just the camera angles and stuff is just freaking incredible, dude.
Yeah. That's film, you know, that's a higher level of things. So that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. So my next one is a movie. I just remembered another movie that I'm going to have to substitute for my third one.
Okay.
but it's okay. My next one is called Cemetery Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from, it's 1994. It was an Italian movie. It's based off of a Italian comic called Dylan Dog. It was a very early role for Rupert, Everett.
Okay.
And it's a horror movie, and it is just fucking weird, man. It is just weird. Now, I first saw this with my buddy Eric. We were out at a friend's partying, and we came home from their party, and so we had had a few drinks, and so we sat down crashed. And just kind of like chill for a little bit. And we turned on the TV and this was on. And I guess we caught it right at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But we sat there just completely dumbfounded the whole time that this was playing, because it is so weird and surreal. And, you know, so it's Italian, but the lead is English, so everything is dubbed. Uh-huh. It's got a weird dubbing to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise is there's this our main character is the he's a cemetery man. He's the head of the cemetery, so he does the burials, but he also has to stay in and lock the cemetery up every night. And he's got this weird assistant that helps him, and he has to stay there to keep the dead from rising up and leaving every night, because they become zombies.
Okay.
And at one point, there's this beautiful woman who tells him that she will marry him, but she can't have sex with him because she was, I guess she was raped or she was intimidated by men. So I want to say he like cuts off or castrates himself or mm-hmm. cuts off his, all of it. I don't remember. Yeah. And then the corrupt town mayor like rapes her and she loves it. And so she breaks it off with the cemetery man and runs away with the mayor. And it's just all this really
weird
stuff.
That's great.
And it's not like Argento weird. But it's like it's supposed to be a dark comedy horror kind of thing, and it's just so bizarre, man. Yeah. It's so freaking bizarre, and it ends on this note of completely what?
Yeah.
It's just so weird. It's so weird, and it's really, I don't know if enjoyable. Yeah, it's enjoyable. I mean, we really were fascinated by watching it, and I have seen it since then sober. And it's still really, really weird.
Yeah.
And by all means, it's not a good movie.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely B-level.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't picked up on that from my describing it already.
Sometimes, sometimes those are the best.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love a good B-movie. Yeah. I love a bad B-movie. I love them all. But, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's definitely what. So Cemetery Man is just, it's, if you're looking for something that's different, that will fill the spot.
It sounds like everything you want. That's great.
Yeah, and I mean, I've left out so much to the plot of it. It's so many weird subplots and everything.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a big documentary guy, and so my next two are going to be documentaries. So the first one is Wolfpack, and it's a fairly new one that's come out, and it's about a family that is, they live in New York, and the mother is from like, I can't remember, but she's from the Midwest, and she grew up like conservative, and she ends up moving down to South America. She finds a guy and she gets married, and this guy's a freaking nut job. He's crazy. He thinks he's Jesus Christ and stuff. And they end up moving to New York City, and they have 7 kids, 6 of which are boys. And they are basically never allowed to leave the house, like the apartment. And the apartment, they're kind of living in squalor. It's not like, I mean, not squalor, but it's not, it's housing projects. And they are allowed to go outside, like literally, like maybe one time a year. Maybe. I think the kid in the movie had said that the amount of times they'd been outside was like maybe 10 times, and they're in their teenage years. And so what they do is to pass the time, they are enthralled in movies, man. And there's a certain collection of movies that they're allowed to watch. And so they'll take those movies and they'll, line by line, by hand, they'll write the scripts out. And they'll shoot them, they'll film the movies and they'll act these movies out in their apartment. And they make their own costumes, and like one of the big ones that they did, I think it was Reservoir Dogs, which is one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. But they'll make their own guns out of like tinfoil and stuff, and they're actually like pretty good little actors, man. Like,
and these are, how old are the kids?
These kids are like, they range, I think the youngest boy is like, I'm gonna say probably maybe 9, and then the oldest boys are like 17. You know, 18 years old. And, but their father is like just adamant that they're not going to be in touch with culture, and they're not going to have any influence, you know, no outside influence is going to come in.
And how do they get, I mean, okay.
So they act these movies out, and they've got a lot of them, man, and they'll act them out and they'll film them and stuff. Well, one of the boys decided one day, fuck you, I'm going outside. And he tricked his way. His dad had like, I'm not kidding, like 10 deadbolts or something on the door. And it was like a whole thing to get outside. So the kid figured out how to get outside, and he they don't know how to interact, dude. So he goes, he's wearing a mask, and I can't remember what kind of mask it is, but he's wearing a mask, the Halloween mask. I think that's who it was, you know, Michael Myers.
Do you know if he went to a Brahms? Cause I may have met that guy.
I don't think so. I don't think they have any in New York. I wish they did, man. That'd be great. But so he goes down on the street, man, and he gets arrested cause they think here's this creepy kid. You know what I mean? Walking around in this weird mask. And that begins the rebellion of the boys against the father. And they start going outside. They say, we're going out fucking side. We're going outside. That's all there is to it. We're going to become.
Is this done like after? Is it an after? Yes,
it's
okay. It's sort not of, concurrent. While all the story is developing,
they're still
documentary
living.
There.
No, there's well, no. They're still.
It's
living
not like
there.
The document. Yeah, it's not like the documentarian was embedded doing, you know, following them around while this is happening.
They were.
This is all after.
They were. Yeah. But what I mean is it's after the rebellion. Yeah, it's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
And I have so many questions. I need a what was it called again?
It's called Wolfpack.
Wolfpack. Okay, Wolfpack. I'm gonna look for this,
dude. It's
because I need answers for questions I have.
It's phenomenal. I'll just kind of leave it at that because you know people need to watch it. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's weird. It's you know you're looking at the you know the craziness of a man trying to totally control his wife and his kids, and it's kind of great. It's as fucked up as it is, man. It's kind of a feel good story for those kids. You just feel like, dude, good for you for standing up to him when you know you don't know anything about what's reality. Your reality is what your crazy dad is telling you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, that's that one.
Cool. All right. Well, so my third, the one that just popped into my mind while I was talking about these, that I really want to see this again. I want to track it down. It's a dark comedy, and it's from, again, early 90s, and it's called, Shakes the Clown.
Okay. Oh man. Have I seen that?
You may have. Okay. It is Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yes.
Plays this alcoholic burnout clown.
Okay.
And it's got a very early, if not the very first appearance of Adam Sandler in a movie. It's a very early one of him as a clown.
I think I have seen that.
And it's got Julie Brown is in it and some other stuff. And he's just like, it just follows around because he's called Shakes because he's an alcoholic and he's always got the shakes, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but it just follows him around and it's just like it's just so weird. It's bizarre because it's a dark comedy clown movie about a clown who's an alcoholic and just everything in his life is just terrible.
Yeah.
Just awful. It's all falling apart. I think at one point there's like there's clowns and him and his clown buddies fight a bunch of mimes. You know,
that's so weird. It rings a bell, man. I think I did see that.
And you know, I'm looking at some pictures of it because I'm like, I couldn't, it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. And I really want to go and try and find it again. But, like, so bizarre. So bizarre.
That's cool.
And just, you know, Bobcat Goldthwait. You know, I mean, what more do you need?
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'll keep that one really short.
Cool.
So that you can move on to your third as
so,
well.
Yeah. So my third is Project Grizzly. Which is just a weird, quirky documentary about a Canadian dude that dresses like Davy Crockett with a red beret, and he fancies himself to be a grizzly expert, and he spent like his entire life savings on developing this grizzly suit. And there's a part one and a part two. My favorite one's part one, of course, the original, Part two is sort of an extension of part one, but it's all about how he's devised this suit that is he's going to be dropped into the he was attacked as a younger man by a grizzly, and he believes that he's connected to, he calls him the old man is what he calls him. And so he believes it's his life mission to reconnect with the old man. And so he spends all this money on this suit that is basically, you can't move once you get in it. So it's he thinks he's going to walk out into this, like, into the vast wilderness and be able to, like, you know, shake hands with a bear. And so the suit is just absolutely ridiculous. The whole premise behind it's hilarious. The guy's named Troy, and it's just, you couldn't write a script better than this documentary. So again, it's called The Grizzly Project, and you got to watch it to believe it. So,
yeah, that was one that I'm aware of, but I never saw. But yeah, I remember seeing that, and I've seen pictures of the suit, and I've seen stuff about him, and it's just like,
wow. As weird as it is, it's hilarious. You know, it's a feel good, funny, weird documentary. So,
all right, so I'm gonna drop a couple honorable mentions real quick,
okay,
and just kind of, you know, not go into too much about it, but just so my two, I got two. My first one is a documentary, and it's hilarious, and it's so funny because, like, it's okay. So it's called American Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe you've seen it, maybe you're not, but it follows this guy. It follows these two guys, Mark and Mike. They're buddies, and they've been friends forever. And I'm pretty sure it's been forever because, again, it's been a while since I've seen this. Mm-hmm. But they are two dudes, and I want to say they're like Wisconsin, or they're somewhere in Michigan, Wisconsin, somewhere in that north Midwest. Uh-huh. So they've got a little bit of that North Midwest Fargo-esque type accent, a little bit.
Wisconsin. That's where my in-laws are from. I know it well.
Yeah. So the whole thing is about this guy Mark, who's driven to make. He wants to be a filmmaker. He wants to be a movie maker.
Yeah.
And he's trying to make a movie, a low budget horror movie.
Yes.
Called Coven.
Okay.
It's not Coven.
Okay.
It's about a coven of witches, but he calls it Coven.
Okay.
And then it's all about Coven, and he's trying to make this movie Coven, and his buddy is along with him, Mike, and Mike has just got the most expressionless face, and they both have long hair left over from like the 80s metal stuff, and they both have like mustaches, maybe a mustache goatee, and it's so hilarious because these guys are so like unself-aware, but so that they can be really kind of like themselves, but they're characters in themselves. And it's just it's worth checking out. It's really fun.
That's awesome.
And it's great.
That's cool.
And
is the documentary, is it them making the movie? Is that what it is?
It's them trying to get money to make the movie.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
And trying to put the movie together.
Cool.
And I think they've done a couple of other things afterwards because this kind of got them some notoriety. I even want to say they did something with like Britney Spears.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I can't remember. I didn't dive too deep into it.
Okay.
But I just like, you know, I'll let the listeners just look into that.
Cool.
My other second honorable mention is Reuben and Ed. And that is probably Crispin Glover at is weirdest.
You don't need to say anything more than that. I watched that David Letterman. I was watching not live, but I watched the actual show when David Letterman kicked him off.
Yep. And that's what it's from. It's and I mean, that's he plays a character. He got really, really, really deep into character. He went on Letterman in character.
I've seen
he almost kicked Letterman in the face, and Letterman kicked him off the show. It's a weird,
that was a good call, dude. I saw that movie a long time ago. I don't remember much about it, but
yeah,
that's great.
It's
And Joaquin Phoenix kind of tried to redo that. He kind, you know, when he did that weird hip hop documentary, and he went on Letterman and he acted real weird, and ended up like just fucking with him the whole time because he couldn't figure out what was going on. I think that was an homage to Crispin.
It might have been. It might have been. But yeah, so like that's another one to check out if you can find it, because I think that one's really underground and really hard to find.
That's awesome.
And also, the plot of it is this guy who's trying to make his life better, and he's trying to sell, like, he's in a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And he runs across somebody who finally doesn't turn him away. Mm-hmm. And that's Ruben. And Ruben lives with this mother, and he's got a weird 70s fashion thing. He's got weird hair. His cat dies, so they go out into the desert to try to bury the cat. And it's a very weird, heady movie. Just, if you can find it, awesome. Check it out. That's great. So that's that.
Awesome. So. Okay, let's move on to songs. Our three favorite weird songs. I'll go first.
I was gonna before we jumped in here, we talked about how we didn't wanna go into too weird of things, and for me, some of the immediate thoughts that whenever I heard weird songs were like Mr. Bungle. Mm-hmm. It's a band called Brainiac.
Yep.
They were out of Dayton, Ohio, and really incredible, weird experimental stuff. Of course, Weird Al. Yep. But those are not where I went. Right. I just want to drops of some really
weird
stuff right there at the beginning.
Yeah, so. And like we said, there was a ton of different directions to go with this.
Yeah. You know,
but instead of like doing, you know, the super avant-garde weird shit, I'm just going to kind of throw some stuff out there that you can still listen to. And I'm going to go, you know, the first one that came to mind was Syd Barrett's Vegetable Man. the whole story behind Syd is that he did way too much LSD, and he kind of dropped off the deep end. And this is rumored to be like sort of in that phase of him like totally losing his mind. And it's just a weird song, dude. It's a weird song, but it's still accessible. It's still musical. And if you listen, there's a couple of different people that say that it's like, I read a story that it was, the song's about him describing himself. Like he wrote the song at his friend's like breakfast table, and like he was, but then, you know, some people say it's about the music industry or something. Like, it's just weird. It's a weird, cool song. Anything that has to do with Syd Barrett, I'm kind of interested in, just because he's, you know, as he left Pink Floyd, that band sort of like, they continued on in his honor, and they would always sort of write their stuff based around Syd's life. You know, it was just like, so anyway, that's one of them that I thought about. And you're talking about 1967, by the way.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, you can listen to stuff that, you know, it sounds familiar because of people that are doing weird shit today. But like, not very many people were doing that kind of weird shit back then.
Well, if they were, they weren't recording it, and they weren't. Right. I mean, it was novelty. It wasn't taken serious.
Right, correct.
It wasn't taken serious. It was as a novelty thing. Because I mean, you could look at One Eyed, One Horned, Flying Purple People Eater as a weird song, but that was a novelty song, purposely crafted for that. You know.
Yeah. No. And there was a lot. And I actually thought about going that angle too, like the weird songs that in pop culture that we just accept that are fucking weird. You know what I mean? But, you know, that was, Syd Barrett was the one that popped into my mind.
Well, I'm going to go with one that actually did kind of creep into pop culture. I'm going to start with Oklahoma's own Flaming Lips with She Don't Use Jelly.
There you go. Yep.
And it's a weird song. If you listen to the lyrics, it's great 90s psych rock stuff. It's got all the great swirling guitars and all that stuff, and it's catchy, and it's weird that it's catchy, and it's kind of like a throwaway song, but it became their most well-known song for a long time. And I remember, I mean, because that's what I, that is the song I heard first that introduced me to them. I had heard the name around, but like I, you know, we grew up in a small town in Oklahoma. We weren't near Norman where the Lips were, or, you know, we weren't into the music scene enough in Oklahoma at that time to be aware that the Flaming Lips, who they were at the time when we were teenagers and stuff, whenever this would have been coming out. But shortly after, you know, like probably like, I think probably my senior year of high school is whenever I first found this, you know, you know, or junior, senior year, or somewhere in that. But anyway, you know, She Don't Use Jelly, it's a classic song. You know, they showed up, they played it on Beverly Hills 90210.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh, they had an episode, because, like, in college, all my friends were, like, obsessed with that show. They were obsessed with Friends, and they were obsessed with 90210. And I didn't care for either one of those shows, but my friends were hanging out, so I would be hanging out and watching those shows. One of the most hardcore 90210 fans that I know and have met is our very own Bigfoot expert, Mr. Jeff Hubbard.
Yes, yes.
He watched 90210 since it started till it finished, dude.
That's hilarious.
Religiously, dude, religiously.
That's funny.
Would not miss an episode. So anyway, I'm hanging out with my friends, and all of a sudden, and I'm, you know, I'm hating it. I was like, okay, well, this is only an hour long, and then we can do whatever and listen to music, hang out, whatever, do something, you know. And then all of a sudden, the Flaming, they introduced the, this band to play at the Peach Pit, which is, I think, the place that they all hung out at, right? And they said the Flaming Lips. And I almost was, I had such a anti-passion for 90210 that I almost rejected the Flaming Lips for being on there and playing. Funny. But then they played She Don't Use Jelly, and I was like, this is so bizarre that this is on network television. And they're spoon feeding this song, because it was, that's not the kind of music they normally play. You know, 90210 would be like that, whatever that guy that was in Party of Five that had his own band, Jamie something around, maybe. You know, it was all pop. It was like 90s pop stuff, you know. And
that was an attempt for them to add some cred to their show, you know.
You know, honestly, dude, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think they had somebody else in line, and that was on Warner Brothers, and they couldn't do it, so Warner got it.
It could have been,
Or Warner was just like, we really want to push this band, and with this single, So, but yeah, so still, just, you know, it's a weird song. It's a fun song. It's a cool song. It's a cool band. They're always super nice guys. They themselves are weird. And that's always a great thing. And they've exploded over the past 25 years. Yep. And it's amazing, because it's one of those things that, like, you just don't see coming out of Oklahoma if you grew up in Oklahoma. And then it exploded. And they've actually been a very positive force about art and creativity and everything within the state. And it's really, really fantastic to see that from the outside. Looking back, seeing all that happens,
And a lot of people, a lot of people don't even realize that they're from here. I mean, that's what's, that's what's incredible. No, that's a great pick, man, for sure. Love the Lips. I went with my next one. I went with Hardcore UFOs by the Guided by Voices. It's off of B-1000. That was 1994. I'm a huge, and I know you are too, Robert, you know, Mr. Pollard is a fucking genius in my mind, and he never ceases to disappoint when it comes to weird, odd things that make musical sense, and I thought that was a good one, because it, you know, it kind of fit the show premises and stuff like that, but it's also just a great song. I mean,
it is.
You know, and
well, it's a great album.
Oh my God, it's so good.
You know, that's my favorite You know, that's my favorite Guided by Voices album.
I thought so.
Yeah, because we've had this discussion many a time.
Yeah.
And that's definitely my favorite because it's got there's not a bad song on
it. He's so prolific. I mean, the guy will put 2-3 records out in a year. And we're talking not a 10-song record.
Yeah.
20 songs sometimes.
That's now that he's slowed down.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, the thing about him, man, is like, he just has that ability to like he has the ability to write a great pop song, but then he'll turn right around and just put a blurb of like a half a minute of like some strange thing that he records on a tape deck and that's kind of one of the what I feel is like one of the most redeeming qualities about him is his stuff sounds great either lo-fi or recorded well, and that was of course one of the more lo-fi sounding records. They all have their he goes in and out of phases. Anyway, great song.
Definitely.
And had to tip my hat to him.
Yeah, we could talk about both GBD and Lilith's for hours.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But I'm gonna say so. I'm gonna move on to my this is my second one. Mm-hmm. In the same line of what we've talked about, it's people who started off doing lo-fi recording and doing all sorts of stream of consciousness kind of stuff. And also from the same era right there in the early 90s, Push a Little Daisies by Ween.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, yeah. It's such a weird song.
Yeah.
And like many people, I was introduced to Ween by Beavis and Butthead with this song because it had a weird video and Push a Little Daisies and Make Him Come Up. And it's just got that weird falsetto kind of voice and it's got that. It's just I won't sing it, but it's just like it's such a charming weird song.
Yeah.
And it'll get into your ear and it'll just sit there for a while. And but I mean it's about dying, push a little daisies and make him come up. That's right. Death. That's being right. Dead. Pushing up daisies means you're dead. Mm-hmm. But it's just so weird. And Ween is just noted for their weirdness, but that seems again that was like my access point. That's a lot of people's first introduction to them.
Yeah.
They have definitely grown and become a very well-known commodity as a band.
Yeah.
They're definitely genre. They're definitely something that you listen to, it's head music, if you will. It's fun, it's weird, but it's really cool, and it's really cool because they just started off as two friends and a four track just dicking around being all wasted and dicking around and making weird music, and they've made a living off of it, and that's where they're at. So
they're great. They have quite an odd catalog, and anybody that hasn't listened to Ween, you gotta give them a try because they're a lot of fun for sure, man. I'm gonna go. This may or may not seem weird to people, but I picked this song because lyrically it's strange, and also I know one of your favorite bands, one of my favorite bands, the Beatles. I Am the Walrus. With the lines like "I am the Eggman, they are the Eggman. I am the Walrus, goo 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 choo."
Goo goo choo.
I mean, again, you're talking 1967. I love that song so much for the pop sensibility. Like, maybe one of my favorite Beatles song, but like when you really break it down, you start, going, "What the fuck is he singing about?"
Yeah.
It's just bizarre that the people of my parents' generations wrote such odd, fun, interesting music, man.
Well, and there was definitely a psychedelic influence, and it was definitely it's a psychedelic song. It's right there at the beginning of all that psychedelic exploration in music, and that was a hugely influential song.
Yeah,
and which led to that was I want to say that was Mystery, Magical Mystery Tour.
Yes, it was.
Which was right before Sergeant Pepper's.
Yep.
Which again, culmination of that a more guided psychedelic album, you know. And it's some Beatles, man. Right. I mean, it's like not every song is a winner, but every song is like whenever like there are songs that are just, for lack of better term, they're just magical.
Yeah.
Like they really just are. Everything comes together in such an incredibly superior artistic fashion. Yep. And the formula is one that is just undeniable. Mm-hmm. And that's why here we are 60 years on or whatever, you know, still talking about, still listening to the Beatles, still, you know, excited about the music that is and influenced by the music that they made. And
and from a production standpoint, you know, I'm an audio nerd. And they wrote the book. I mean, you know, people, it's funny, you'll talk to people and they poo poo the Beatles a lot. Now, and I'm, my argument is always this, man, like whether or not you like the Beatles is really that secondary. What they did to push the envelope of audio recording and the things that they invented single-handedly, you know, with George, of course, George Martin, their producer, there was nobody doing the things that they were doing. And you know, they would come in with an idea and they had, and George Martin had to figure out how to execute it. And they really did. They invented multi-track recording and bouncing and chorus and phase and all that shit they were doing, man. So anyway, I could go on forever, but that is certainly one of the ones that I felt like deserved that spot. So.
All right. Well, my third is my third and final here is a little bit more obscure. And it's one that, like, I had to dig to figure out what it was called and who it was by, because it was a vague memory from when I was a child. And we'd listen to back on when the radio would have, you know, shows like Dr. Demento and other stuff, like on college radio stations, they would play weird music just to have, just to do that and stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is a song called Happy Boy by the Beat Farmers.
Okay.
And you probably have heard it in, and I can't really describe it too much, but it sounds like it would belong to a, like a weird, like cartoon, Looney Tunes or something like that. You know, I wish we could, I don't think we could play the music, but look that up. It's a weird thing. It's funny. It's catchy. It's just got this weird, it's got this fun bounce to it, and it's got this refrain where it keeps going, hubba, 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 hubba. Well, I'm a happy boy. Happy boy. I'm a happy boy. Happy boy. You know, I mean, things are things are going my way. Hey, hey. It's just,
that's great.
I just embarrassed myself. But still, yeah, no.
No, that's great.
It's fun. It's a fun, it's a fun song.
That's cool.
And I don't have a lot to harp on, you know, the Beat Farmers. They're kind of, you know, one of those 80s punk college rock, you know, type bands. And they were, you know, really cool. But that's not even like, it's like even a one-off for them for the sound. So, but it's fun songs.
Cool.
Definitely worth checking out.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I mean, out of a simple question, we got a lot of, a lot of material, and we're, you know, that's just a subject we could go on about, but
Really is. It really is. We, you know, it's one that we've even talked about, you know, doing even a podcast on, but you know, I mean, if we could, if we had the time to do shows for all the ideas for shows that we had, well, you'd have new content every day.
Yeah.
If you know, but you know, we, you know, unfortunately we're just limited to what we got. So, but you know, who knows what the future holds.
That's right. So, and we appreciate the question. And,
yes.
So, yeah, you got any other questions? Please send us our way, send them our way.
Yes. We'll try to be brief, but you know, sometimes that just,
you never know.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.